Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TT Timeless. We are back in the building, man. I'm telling you, like I got goosebumps right now, man. Everything that just went down yesterday, man. We got 2 weeks until we see the Big Bowl, the Super Bowl, go down, man. There's only one left to be picked from the remaining two. We got a lot of stuff to get into. It's some matchups that take place tonight. Hopefully, we can jump into those as well. Got a lot of stuff to do. 60 minutes to kick this thing off. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better? Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. I'm using keeps you moving, what are you chewing? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body your domino. Promise you bars so I can buy a few cars. Then I kick a few flows so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitant. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, back up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked in Lord of the Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. And I'm ready to get to this show, man, as best as I can. I got my big brother co-host with me, Chandler Knight. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm fine.
Okay. I'm just making sure I got everything right in here so this kitchen starts to fill up. I don't know where to go first, but I'm going to go, I guess, systematically in this situation. First out of the two games, the AFC Championship game, and I don't even want to take too much away from this game because this game definitely came down to the wire. And it, I don't know if it should have or not, but it's crazy. This matchup is crazy. For it to have been a kicking situation that could have, you know, changed the game, if you will. And I don't want to put this all on Gostkowski. He missed an extra point. They had to go for two, and unfortunately, they did not have a successful two-point try at the end of the game. I don't know where I get the latest. Peyton coming out with a better play of himself than he played all season. I mean, he's only thrown one touchdown pass there this season. And he came out and played well. He found Owen Daniels twice. He threw more touchdowns in this one game than he did all season there. Chandler, your thoughts on the AFC Championship game, both sides of the ball, whether it's the Broncos or the Patriots?
Well, I think the game turned out about how it should have. The Patriots haven't been able to run the ball all year. You had a Broncos defense that knew they couldn't run the ball, also knew that the only guy they really had to cover was Gronkowski. And so they basically pinned their ears back on every play and went after Brady. I find it interesting that they haven't – New England's offensive line has been terrible all year. And I remember talking to you about this, I think it was the second or third week of the season, might even be the first week of the season, when they benched, I think it was Sauter, and they had five guys on the offensive line playing that game, and only one of them had been in the league for more than a year, and yet they still won because the team they were playing, I forget who it was, just refused to take advantage of it and rush the damn quarterback. You know, everybody is so afraid of New England, oh, we can't blitz them. they got five offensive linemen who don't know what they're doing. How can you not blitz them? You know, so for people to blame Gostkowski, listen, this is what everybody wanted when they moved the dog on extra point try and made it a field goal. This is what y'all wanted, so this is what you got. I personally think that Belichick was a little too stubborn. I think he should have went for it on fourth down. Or rather, I think he should have kicked the field goal on that second to last possession. Because if that's the case, if he kicks the field goal there, they go down and score, they win the game. But I think that for whatever reason, he didn't trust his kicker. And that's weird to say, but I don't think he trusted his kicker in that situation. So, you know what? I still don't think that Peyton Manning is any good. I think that team is winning in spite of Peyton Manning, not because of him. Although the narrative now will be, oh, Peyton was so great that he kept the team this, that. Just look at that one throw he made. He made one throw. And so that makes up for all the other throws that he didn't make. That makes up for all the overthrows, underthrows, and a couple of interceptions that should have happened but didn't. On that play with Emmanuel Sanders, Malcolm Butler, the ball went literally through his hands. His hand was right there. The ball went through his hands. How do you not make that play, at least knock the ball down? But you know what? This is about the way it should have turned out, a low-scoring game because New England couldn't run and Peyton can't throw. So that's what you got.
And it's interesting that, you know, they lose LeGarrette Blount. We were talking about it from the early part of the season. They lost Deion Lewis, and they had a running game early portion. But once they lost at least two pieces of their running game, it became a you know, Brady versus the world situation where Brady was trying. Brady was trying to get it done, but the blueprint has been set as of 2007. And people go away from it and try their other ways or see if they could be successful and not put pressure on Brady. Denver consistently kept people coming or had Von Miller on the outside with Cannon, and Cannon couldn't block him at all and basically get into Brady before he could get the ball off. So, you know, give a ton of credit to that Denver defense. As much as they did, I can't really say shutting them down because he had over 100 yards receiving, but they kept them out of the mid portion of the game to at least get that offense to start building their mojo up. And, you know, looking at guys like Amendola and Edelman, I mean, these guys are like the short yardage speedster that can, you know, turn a 3 or 5 yard catch into something big. They were neutralized. They were neutralized a ton. So that secondary, I give a ton of credit to. Denver had the specific game plan to get it done. Do I think personally that the Patriots could have scored more points? Absolutely, Chandler. Not even the only one in the fourth quarter where Belichick refused to kick a field goal. He refused to kick a field goal earlier and went for it on fourth down and came up short. He did that twice. He did that twice in the game and the Patriots came up short. And not letting Gostkowski kick. He hit 523 extra points in a row. 523. So I don't think it's a situation, and not calling you out on this, man, Chandler, but if this is a situation where he didn't believe in the kicker, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. That's total buffoonery for this guy to be one of the better kickers in the league. I'm giving Gostkowski that leg up. I don't know if I can say he's the best kicker in the league, but he's one of the – I put him top 10, top 5. He's in that discussion. And, oh, by the way, I'm getting personal here. I'm getting personal. To ever that sits out there, it really puts people's lives on the line. Like, I hope your kid – they said they hope his kids die and this, that. I hope his kids – just stop it. Shut up. Y'all stop it and shut up. Like, yeah, and I'm getting personal right now. Stop it and shut up. I'm the sorest loser there is. You can ask Chandler. I don't want to lose. I don't want the Thunder to lose. I don't want Georgetown to lose. I don't want the Rangers to lose. I don't want Tennessee girls to lose. I don't want none of my teams to lose. But if they lose, I got to suck it up and they're going to live and they see another day. Like, come on, y'all really threatening this dude? Yeah, and y'all living at the age of social media where FBI can check what you're doing. They can get to those URLs and chase you down just for those threats. Stupid. You're stupid. You're, like, come on, man. He missed the kick. Come on. Even though it was a critical situation. It was early in the game. When he missed it, it was 7-6. I started laughing and pointing at the screen. I said, watch that kick come back and bite him. 7-6 game, and it sure enough did. And it sure enough did. It came down to a 2-point game, and by gosh, I can't even lie. Rakowski, a hell of a catch. A hell of a catch in bracket coverage. He came down with that pass. I started screaming. I said, whoa. And then next thing you know, he caught the touchdown. That ends on the double coverage again. Brady, I don't know what to say. In two fourth down plays, he went to Gronkowski and got it done. I thought that was going to tie it up. But one crazy two-point conversion play that got picked off, no less. But, hey, let me get people in here. Calling in by way of the state of Arizona, we have Ignacio Silva in the building. Nacho, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling good. Just relaxing. How y'all feeling?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on the AFC Championship decided by 2 points?
You know, it was a defensive game. I said at the end of the brunch yesterday, there was no other reason for me to pick who I picked in Denver. Was just the defense. I expected them to come through and play lights out, take advantage of what Chandler alluded to in the offensive line struggles of New England. The loss, however, to me, firmly, I think with Chandler, firmly belongs on the shoulders of Bill Belichick. You have four fourth downs. Three of them, I believe, are within field goal range. One of them you could have kicked and pinned them down. That offense in Denver was not moving the ball at all. They were chewing a little clock, but you were still able to get opportunities there in the fourth quarter. Go for it on multiple fourth downs. I just don't understand it. If you're fighting for field position, getting a field goal, having Gronkowski kick it out of the end zone, you get 3 points and you're putting them in the same spot. If you're saying, I don't want to, you know, whatever, I kick it and miss and give it to them at the whatever. I really don't get that. I think Gronkowski would have made them. So, I put that firmly on him, whether he decided that, you know, it was best to go for it on fourth or he didn't trust Gronkowski, which I highly disbelieve because we all know, you know, we all have heard it now. What is it, 9 years since his last extra point missed, regardless of, you know, 2 points, and he hasn't missed anyone all year. So, you can't foresee that, and, you know, I don't put it on him for missing that one. The complaining about the length and because it's far, that's the perfect reason why. Because you have a man who has not missed a single one all year because of the length, because of the conditions, because of the pressure on the time of year, he missed it. It wasn't an easy chip shot. He missed it. This is what the fans, this is what the owners, this is what everyone wanted. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed watching him miss an extra point because it wasn't a gimme and there was no guarantee that he was going to make it. Everyone was assuming it was going to be, I believe, a 7-7 game. And it ended up being a 7-6 game at that point, and I'm sitting there enthralled because that was the reason the rule was brought into place. So I think it worked to a T. It was perfect, and, you know, I keep it in. I hope it lasts for a long time. I know it's only for this year. I hope it continues to stay, though. On the other hand, the game itself was a great game down to the very end. The all 22, you on the very last 2-point conversion, Rob Gronkowski's running wide open. Tom doesn't see him for whatever reason. You can blame it on the yips. You can blame it on the fact that he was on his ass the entire game. Sorry, it's my French. He was on his behind the entire game. He was getting hit. He was getting knocked around. I know Von Miller was the one with the sacks, but DeMarcus Ware was in his face almost all game. It was just nice to watch a defense dominate the way they did. If not for two passes there at the end to Rob Gronkowski, they would have held Rob Gronkowski in pretty much a pretty good check mode with no touchdowns and just a basic amount of yards, keeping them to, 12 points. So I was impressed by Denver's defense. I was impressed by the game. The one caveat to the game I was not impressed by was, of course, the number 18. He didn't look good at all. That first quarter, the first 14 points, that's it. Other than that, he was just barely getting by, making one or two passes in the midst of stretches of horrible passes. and it just wasn't working. He was calling plays and audibling to good plays. When they didn't work, he couldn't rely on his arm strength to make a play. He couldn't rely on him to call a deep pass and just make the ball down the field. And he couldn't do that consistently. So, you know, as it pertains to the whole of a team of the Denver Broncos, you know, that offense is the one weak link that we all saw going in. The defense has stepped it up time and time again. So let's see what can happen in the future here. But that defense really pulled it together and pulled their weight. If I'm not mistaken, it was four fourth downs there at the end. Two of them, you know, close to the red zone, if not in the red zone, and they stopped them. I think, and so it was just a stellar performance by that defense. And like I said, DeMarcus Ware, I know Von Miller got a lot of the praise with the interceptions and the multiple sacks, but DeMarcus Ware was in his face. He was not involved in that first game, but he was definitely involved in this.
Okay, and one of those fourth downs, the one where they threw it to Julian Edelman in the flat, it almost reminds me of, what was that, 2011, I think it was, when the, or 2012, actually, when the Patriots played the Colts, and I think Peyton was there, if I'm not mistaken, and he threw that same pass to Kevin Falk on a fourth down, and Kevin Falk got stopped trying to go up high for the pass, and it basically hit him right in the rib cage and brought him right down. It's like, I was sitting there, and it felt like I was McDaniel or something. Like, I know it's about to happen. They're going to run Brady up the middle. They're going to pick up the first down. That's always their go-to. Always their go-to. And it seemed like for some reason, and even Aqib Talib said it, he said Brady looked rattled all throughout the game. He said Brady looked rattled. You didn't even see Brady pull that off. I mean, Brady had one run. That's what Talib hit him low, and he got the first down, fell out of bounds, so on and so forth. I don't know if he's seen a lot of speed or these secondary players were, you know, making plays that just basically just had him off kill. But it just wasn't the same Brady in this game where, like I said, I give a ton of that credit to the Denver defense. I don't know if DeMarcus Ware spoke to OTM and Yura because these guys have been cool since their college days and before then. And if OC gave up the recipe on how to get to Tom, that's a whole different ball game. But they stayed with that mantra all game long, getting to Brady, making that offensive line work, basically testing that offensive line's feet, and beating them out of position and making plays in that backfield. So, I mean, if there's something that you guys seen different, I do question those two opportunities that they could have kicked in, you know, field goal and try to make something different happen. I don't want to call out Bill Belichick like that. Bill Belichick is a monster coach. I at least got to give him top five or top three coach all time. But there have been some fourth down calls that he's made critical enough that it's cost the team. And I don't know if it's the call that he specifically makes. I know that he keeps that offense on the field. They have to produce a play. They haven't come up with the first down in that situation. And oddly enough, their winning percentage and how they've been successful in getting the Super Bowl, so on and so forth, they have not been good in the state of Colorado. They have not been good up against Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship games. Even though Brady is the all-time leader with them head-to-head, they do not look good in Colorado and in the AFC Championship game up against Peyton Manning, too. So this is something. This is another outlining story in this situation. Okay. We do have another caller in queue, caller from California. We have breaking news, Ryan Hughes in the building. Ryan, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Doing fantastic, Ty. How are you doing this evening?
Doing all right, setting it off. What are your thoughts on the AFC Championship to start?
Well, I was listening to some of your recap on the AFC Championship game. All I'm going to say is this, Ty, and I'll keep it short because I'm sure you guys have beat this up. It's really easy to question a coach. Coaches' decisions when they're aggressive, but as I said, that has, you know, an attitude of I'm going to go for it. I think if you really want to pick a person to kind of point at and say that's where things went wrong, how about Bukowski missing an extra point? I mean, you think about how big that extra point was. You know, if they're only down by 7 instead of 8. Or, you know, maybe you get the goal at that particular point. But, you know, credit to the Denver defense, which was really the dominant force of the day, because how many opportunities are you going to get inside the 20 or 30-yard line of Denver? I think when you're in a situation like that, 4th and 1, 4th and 2, I think you got to go for it when you're down by one or more scores.
Now, earlier we did actually look at that. So you settle in and get your plate first. You settle in and get your plate. But I don't want to make it look like this is all on Gostkowski's shoulders, where you can peg it that way. You know, like, I actually kind of side with, like, you know, how Chandler or somebody would allude to it. Like, you have to look outside of just one play or one player, like a group of things that can happen within the game, which I understand that now. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, there could have been more that the Patriots could have done. That run game could have been there. I mean, they do have Steven Jackson. I think them without LeGarrette Blount, it's a totally different run offense. So it makes them one-dimensional. Even people that I was watching the game with were up there screaming. Before Brady was quiet, they were like, you know what he's going to do. He's going to pass. So go after him. And sure enough, he would drop back, and they sent the wolves at him. Send the package at Brady. Like, if he's going to do anything, send those people at his feet. If they're going to sack him, they're going to sack him, which they were actually getting to him. And that'll make any quarterback erratic. If he's seeing ghosts, that's going to make any quarterback erratic.
Hey, Sean. Yeah, and then how about the coach send in the other tight end that they have to provide some help to the offensive line, which was weak? That missed point after was in the first quarter. They had 3 quarters
right
to make up 1 point. Okay, they literally had 3 quarters to make up 1 point. They spent the entire second half on Denver's side of the field. They spent practically the entire second half on the other side of the 50-yard line because of the fact that they were stopping Denver, and they were getting the ball with great field position every single time. Okay, they had multiple opportunities to get that 1 point back. The fact of the matter is that once they moved that thing and made it a field goal, it impacted all of the teams in the NFL this year. Why do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers went for two on just about every freaking possession? How many coaches started going for two this year? Because 33 yards is not guaranteed, especially the later you get a season, bad field, so on and so forth. This is not about one guy missing an extra point in the first quarter, when the team had ample opportunity to get 1 point for the next 3 quarters to make up that 1 point. And along with the fact that he never, ever went to a max protect. Not once did he ever go to a max protect. Not once did he keep a back end to chip one of the D linemen coming in. Not once did he bring in Scott Chandler and make DeMarcus Swift or Von Miller take a longer route to get to Brady. He didn't do any of that. Now, if you don't want to criticize him, that's fine, but everybody can be criticized. Every coach has a bad day, and just like Todd Bowles had a bad day against the Buffalo in the Jets last game where he refused to play Chris Ivory, and no, it still hasn't explained why, just like Andy Reid inexplicably decided that there were 5 quarters of football in his playoff game, Bill Belichick had a bad day.
And you know, for what it's worth, Chandler, I agree with you on the max protect, okay? I was just simply pointing out that, you know, rather than just saying pointing at Bill Belichick and saying, hey, this guy is the reason we lost because he made bad calls, I'm saying, look, you could say Gutkowski missed an extra point. You could easily say Nate Solder cost him the Super Bowl trip because he absolutely, unequivocally could not even slow Von Miller down. Me and my friends, when we were watching that game, we literally, you can't even get to two. It was like one, and he was already at the quarterback. Brady did not even have time to set his feet to throw the ball. And the few times he did, he looked like Derek Carr. He had happy feet. So I understand what you're saying. And it only made it worse when they kept motioning the running back out of the backfield because now Ware and Miller know 100% it's a pass and they're getting a running start.
And a lot of those running back out of the backfield plays was going to the kid White. And it's like, okay, yeah, I know he has a favorable matchup up against the linebacker, but you're throwing away plays trying to hit him on that long ball and basically hoping he outruns him to get there. Brady was overthrowing him. Brady overthrew him like three times on that passing play. Like, you're wasting plays. And knowing that you guys have plays to break these guys down systematically like you've done with every team throughout the season, why is it now all of a sudden James White is your new Randy Moss on the outside? Or why is James White the new Edelman on the outside? Like, I don't get it. Like, this guy is a fill-in third or fourth string running back, and you're basically going to him like he is the guy right now. I don't get that call. Like, there is several different instances offensively that the Patriots made me scratch my head. Made me scratch my head. Especially while Denver wasn't scoring the ball. Denver wasn't lighting the scoreboard up. Like, they let, just like Chandler said, the Broncos let you guys stay in the game for the remainder of the second half. For the remainder of the second half, there was, like, no real threat that the Patriots were, you know, like, squabbling for something to happen. And then here we go. Here goes another situation, people. I hope you guys are ready. Just last week, we sat right here in this kitchen and called out Andy Reid to a T. The Patriots are sitting up there with so much time on the clock that Tom Brady just walking around, letting that clock drip. Like, y'all don't have to get 8 points. Like there was no urgency right there. And we just called out Andy Reid and Alex Smith and all of them about urgency and trying to get this ball score just for a situation for them that if they don't come up with the 2-point conversion, and they have to kick the onside, there was no urgency. They were lackluster, moving around. They better thank God Gronkowski came down with that touchdown at the end of the game.
Well, all I would say, Ty, is for what it's worth, the Andy Reid and the Alex Smith criticism was very well deserved because they were down by multiple scores and they were walking around. You know, Brady and New England, they're down by one score. And the reality is, we're not talking about the clock management being an issue if they convert that two point conversion attempt, because realistically, then they're bleeding the clock because they only left Peyton 10 seconds or 12 seconds left on the clock. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have a huge problem with the time management, if you will, but I do agree with Chandler. The fact that Brady got hit 36 times, which is 11 more times than he's ever been hit in any game in his career. He was hit 36 times on, I believe, 54 dropbacks. Now, you do the math. That's over 50% of the time. And they not once did they call Max Protect. Not once did they keep both tight ends to help out. Not once did they have two running backs back there to chip on the linebackers, on the outside linebackers. And you know what? We talk about this all the time, but you look at some quarterbacks, you know, like Manning when he was younger, you know, what do the Colts do? Yeah, well, we don't have a lot of defense, but we're just going to keep feeding you Pro Bowl wide receivers. You know, we're going to go out and we're going to get you a Marvin Harrison. We're going to go out and get you a Reggie Wayne. We're going to go out and we're going to make sure we got a Dallas Clark for you. What do they do in New England every single time? Every single time Brady makes a guy good, the guy leaves. Oh, you know what? He don't need a left tackle. He don't need a tight end. He don't need a wide receiver. He can do more with less. Eventually, that's going to get either A, old, or B, he's just going to reach a point where physically those limitations are not going to allow him to overcome the rest of his team. Because if you look at the talent on the field, guys, I don't think there's any question who the more talented team was.
You know, and let's give some credit to the Denver coaching staff, special teams coach, on that onside kick. Nobody even paid attention to it. The Gaskowski was the only guy who really had a shot at that ball. And the Denver defender, because the offense had been coached, he ran up and got that ball before the 10 yards. Because if he doesn't run up and get that ball, the Patriots recover that onside kick. And then who knows what could happen. But the Denver coaching staff did a hell of a job. Wade Phillips might be a terrible head coach, but that man is a savant when it comes to coaching defense.
I agree.
Okay.
Denver's defense played phenomenal all game. And you know what? And it wasn't just their outside linebackers. You know, Ware and Miller getting all the credit, but you look at their safeties, you know, between Ward and Stewart, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a duo that played better on Sunday than those two.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling out of the Virginia region of the United States of America. We have Aaron in the building. Aaron, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, I'm good, man. A pleasure to be with you all, man. Dug myself out, man. I'm good to go. What's up?
Okay. Your thoughts on the conference that you represent for the championship game? Your thoughts on both sides of the ball?
You know, man, I said this on the brunch yesterday, and it was weird that it finally came to fruition. When have we ever seen Tom Brady get manhandled and harassed by four-man front?
Since the New York Giants.
You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I didn't see too many exotic blitzes being, you know, thrown at Tom Brady. These men were just beating the hell out of the offensive linemen and getting to Tom Brady. This cat was hit, I think the stat was 20 times yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So, again, a lot of the credit, like my man Brian said, goes to, you know, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. But at the end of the day, gentlemen, this was a total defensive effort. You know, Julian Edelman was not catching 5-yard passes and turning them into 12-yard gains. You know, for the most part, Gronkowski was held pretty much in check outside of the last 5.5 minutes of that ball game. You know, I honestly think Wade Phillips deserves a hell of a lot of credit for just game planning and not being afraid of the big bad wolf being Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I was very impressed with how they managed the ball game. There wasn't a lot of running on both sides of the ball. I said this on the brunch yesterday. You know, you're not going to be able to run the football because both these defenses rise to the occasion. It's going to come down to defensive pressure and who secondary holds up. And we all saw what happened. The Denver Broncos was able to get excessive a lot of pressure on Tom Brady, and their secondary held up. And that, you know, proved to be the deciding factor in the ballgame.
Underrated enough, though. I'm glad you brought that out. Underrated enough, the Patriots secondary did work yesterday. I give them a ton of credit. They were making hits. They came to play. They laid lumber yesterday. I give the Patriots secondary some credit. The only person they couldn't stop was Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels actually killed them. And everybody else, they were tattooing or leaving their imprint on the game. I know Emmanuel Sanders made an incredible jump ball play on the outside up against Butler. But Demaryius Thomas, and this is, I think, something that I think maybe you hit on it, Sirius, or Brian may have hit on it, on the amount of drops that the Denver Broncos were having. The Broncos continue to drop the ball. They continue to drop.
Yeah, that was me yesterday.
That actually came into fruition and actually making this game that much more of an interesting standpoint. Anything else toward the AFC Championship game before I jump into the I don't even know what to call it. Before we get into the NFC Championship game. Yes, Chandler.
Yeah, we could take Demaryius Thomas' name out of that list of the top receivers in the NFL. Demaryius Thomas is a bum.
My name is Sirius, and I co-sign that message.
He's not a bum. You can't sit there and say, DT's a bum. Demaryius Thomas is a bum.
My name is Sirius, and I co-sign that message.
Tell him to catch a ball in the playoffs before he wants to be considered a great receiver. Tell him to catch a ball in the playoffs besides one thrown by Tim Tebow.
Yeah, Tim Tebow. He caught one and made a game winner against the Pittsburgh. He made it against the Pittsburgh.
You know,
and he ain't done a damn thing since. He ain't done anything since.
It's because Demaryius Thomas needs the ball to come out looking like a football, not like a frisbee.
Right.
If the ball touches your hands, you need to catch it. I mean, we all played the game before. Sometimes it's gonna come out like a duck. You need to catch the ball, man.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I will tell you this, Ty. Before we get rolling on the other segment, I gotta tell you, you know what? I know there's three phases to the game, and I know Denver is elite in two of them. But I gotta tell you, when would we ever have thought with weapons that we just talked about, like Demaryius Thomas and Peyton Manning, that we'd be looking at the offense as really the weak link. I got news for you guys, and I know you haven't talked about this yet. You know what? The last time Denver and Peyton Manning were in the Super Bowl, they got blown out by an NFC team. It might happen again.
Oh, wait, hold on. We got 2 weeks before we start calling that out. Wait, just chill. I just want to talk about these championship games. I do not want to start going to winners and losers in the upcoming game. We relax. Everybody relax. Everybody. Well, they know. Seriously, well, you don't know too. Brian's got to say they know. Brian knows too. I do have a caller calling in out of Indiana. We have R. Keezy at the wrap-up. Royce, welcome in. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, fellas. I just wanted to jump on it, and I think I'm just in the nick of time for the segment you're about to get to, because I called in just to say stab on them folks.
Chill. I didn't get there yet. Please remain seated. Please remain seated. Look. It's going to get crazy in a little bit. Okay, look, anybody else have anything left for the AFC Championship game before we go any further?
Nope, but I'm coming for your neck, Ty. Just letting you know when you get to me on this thing, I'm coming for your neck, and you know why and about what quarterback.
Me?
Oh, you know what? I'm second. I know where he's going with that one, too. Go ahead. Get him, Playboy. Get him. Yes, sir.
Okay, look. Now, I don't know what the call is. I literally just let those blast off like that because I think that's the state of shock right now in the state of Arizona. Before I even start to go in on this matchup right here, shout out to Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not even going to lie. Like, yeah, your whole college career while you played for Pittsburgh, I couldn't stand you because you catching wreck up against the Hurricanes. I didn't like it, but I knew you were a phenomenal player, and knowing that you worked out with Chris Carter, Randy Moss, I respect you. And then just hearing how, you know, your time went on, you got better. And then turned into a classy grown man. And, you know, the last game that you guys won, throwing a shout out to Morris and so on and so forth. And just knowing how his heart was involved and the interview that he had, dumping out emotion, and knowing how big of a player Larry Fitzgerald is. I don't want to say this, but it might. I don't know why he would cry like that. I don't know why he would cry like that other than thinking we might have seen the end of Fitzgerald's career. I don't know. Or maybe his emotion just got to him because he don't know when the next time he'll get there. But why? Why? Like, that's the thing that has me thinking like that. But we'll get into that. I'll let people kick into the situation how they want to now. Carolina hosts the Arizona Cardinals. And that's all I got left to say. That's all I can say. I don't know where to begin. If I look at Cam Newton eating like 18 cans of spinach, or do I look at this defense and them smacking around Carson Palmer? I mean, literally making this dude turn the ball over left and literally, when I say literally, making him turn the ball over left and right. 4 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles. They had another fumble muffed by Patrick Peterson. And like I said, I don't know where people jump off with Patrick Peterson this, Patrick Peterson that. I actually had somebody show me footage about 4 minutes long of Patrick Peterson getting burnt his whole career. But it wasn't a situation where he was getting tortured like that in the game. But I just had to throw that out there. But that fumble was also big. But this is interesting for the Carolina Panthers. And I don't know if they can end up continuing this rotation, if you will. Now they are starting the game so hot. They're starting the game so hot, it really puts the other team back for 3 or more possessions. Like, they have to figure out how they're going to score and get a stop. While, let's be honest, Carolina doesn't have the best offense in the league. They don't have the best offense in the league, but everything they do can end up hurting you in the long run. So I don't want to take too much away from everybody because I know everybody has something to say toward this game. But like I did before, I mean, a complete bombing in the middle of Carolina. I don't even know how to look at him differently. I don't know how to word it, but probably that's a state of the Arizona Cardinals. But let's throw this one around the kitchen to see how people feel. Royce, you just got here. Your thoughts on the NFC Championship massacre?
Well, I'm not going to take up a lot of time, man, because I believe in staying in your lane. This is really not my lane. Like I said, I just came to listening to you guys and just, you know, salute Cam Newton, all the Carolina Panthers, and just respect the shellacking and the smackdown that they put on the Arizona Cardinals. I've been hearing a lot of talk, you know, over the last couple of weeks, pretty much all season long, people not willing to give Cam Newton, you know, the nod as the league MVP, don't like the celebrations, figuring he's too egotistical, he's gone too far with, you know, the Superman celebration, then it turned into dabbing on the folks and all kind of stuff like that. Bottom line, with all sports, if you don't like the best player in the game at that particular time, not saying Cam Newton's been the best player for the last 4 or 5 years or will continue to be the best player even next season, but right now, if you're the best player in the league, you got to respect it. If you don't, it's okay. They'll just go out and keep proving that they're the best by producing the necessary wins. That's what I observe. The Carolina Panthers won out. They produced the necessary wins. They're headed to the Super Bowl. Salute the Carolina Panthers. And I'm, you know, step off the line, man. Listen to the rest of you guys. Do what you do best.
No doubt, definitely. If you got anything left in you, you know what to do. If somebody call you out, put your hand back up. I got you, Wade, for sure. I got you. I'll go to series next. Series, your thoughts on the massacre down in Charlotte?
You know, I want to publicly on public radio apologize to the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton and that squad. Every chance I could, ladies and gentlemen, I buried these clowns. Every chance I could, like, I threw dirt on them, and, like, you know, and like The Walking Dead, these bammers rose from the ashes and bit the necks off of everybody. You know, I mean, Lord have mercy. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. You know, let's start here, okay? I asked the question. And Nacho, when he was with us yesterday, asked the same question. Which Carson Palmer is going to show up? And I believe we got our answer. You know, there's a reason why, and I said this yesterday too. I said Carson Palmer tends to shrivel up in big games. This was a big game, and this dude shriveled up. I'm going to leave the analogy alone. I know where I'm going with that. This dude shriveled all the way up. You know what I'm saying? So, this dude couldn't throw it. You know, he turns the ball over, his defense gets him the ball back, and he throws another, and he does a pick. You know, Patrick Peterson muffs his punts. You know, they couldn't catch, they couldn't run. Cam Newton's dabbing in the end zone while his own team is fighting. You know, it was bananas. I apologize, Carolina. I apologize. Your boy Sirius disrespected y'all all year. And damn, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm glad you're doing the apologizing. I'm glad it's you. They're gonna want them. Okay. Where do I go right now? Okay, well, I do have a caller at you calling out of Georgia. I have Nas in the building. Nas, welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. What up, everybody? I'm good.
Okay, we chilling. Your thoughts on the the NFC massacre.
Man, just walking in the door, but, I mean, dude, that game was so much. As he just alluded to, to watch Carson kind of crumble under the pressure and the fact that he didn't have his first read open, and just throughout the night, you just saw him getting more and more frustrated. The running game really provided nothing. That D-line that we talked about Sunday morning, you know, that was the tail of the tape. They forced everything. Tempo, they forced how Arizona was going to play, and they basically just took away everything they wanted to do. And the attitude of the Panthers was really resonating to me during that game. And then on the Carolina side, that boy Cam Newton just shows you, man, he's the dude who's ready for the bright lights. Big game, he's a big game quarterback. He balled out. Teddy Ginn making electric Madden looking plays. Like, yeah, they took that team. What's that?
No, go ahead. No, I was agreeing with you. Go ahead. Keep going. I said I know.
Yeah, I ain't got much. Well, I'm just going to say, yeah, they took that team apart, man. And the only bad thing about it was they beat them so bad that they raised expectations so ridiculous. Vegas is going to make a killing on the betting line on this Super Bowl because
The Panthers are the favorites in this game, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers are
they're
the favorites.
They're not going to freak that money line. Well, they're not going to freak that money line. That's what I'm saying. Vegas is going to make a killing. They'll do it somehow.
Interesting. We got Vegas stuff going on. Look, I don't do this personally. I don't do this on the show. I do this personally, y'all. I do it personally. Okay. Brian, your thoughts on the NFC massacre? I know that you are NFC West guy. I don't know if you want to, you know, peg this to Carson. I respect everything that Bruce Arians has done while he's been under the helm out there in Arizona, but it was like Rivera had everything under control. I mean, break this game down, both teams, Carolina or the Cardinals.
Well, Ty, you're a guy that likes references. I watched this game, and I couldn't help but think of Boys in the Hood when the little boy's like, y'all want to see a dead body? That's what I thought of when I watched this game. That's what I thought of. That's what I thought
That was a little Chris.
Okay, so listen. This isn't on Carson Palmer. Now I know. Hold on. This is not just on Carson Palmer. Did he play bad? Absolutely. But let's be honest. You know, you say this was a collective win. This was a collective loss, boys. As Sirius mentioned, you got your star, one of your stars muffing a punt, several drops by Larry Fitzgerald himself. I can't even tell you the last time I seen him drop multiple passes in one game. Every receiver dropped at least one pass. Michael Floyd, I don't even know if he actually suited up. I don't know if he played the game. Carson Palmer was bad, no doubt about it. But the bottom line is Carolina was just hungrier. They wanted it more. You know what? Carolina came out and took it to them and played like the team that was hungry and wanted to be there. And the Cardinals played like the team that thought they should be there. I mean, bottom line, you know what? I've also, as Sirius just said, I've also been one of those guys that said, you know what? Just give it time, and Cam will find a way of screwing it up. You know what? Now that the season is over, I will tell you unequivocally, if he doesn't get MVP, regardless of what happens moving forward, it's a travesty. The leap that he has made, Cam Newton, from last year to this year, I mean, the passes are unbelievable. Unbelievable. He makes passes that I don't think any other quarterback in the league can make, and I can say that with confidence. I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks. It's not just about accuracy. He'll throw a 20-yard post on a rope. I mean, it's like 8 feet off the ground the entire way. And Greg Olsen, all you see is some fingers stretch out, and then he catches it. I got to give a ton of credit to that coaching staff, the way they've coached up those guys, how hard those guys have practiced. Cam Newton, the leader that he's become, you know, for all the bad things that people have wanted to say about him, he's just kept plugging away. And you know what? Kudos to him. I'm really happy for him. Like I said, there's not a whole lot to say about that game, Ty. The bottom line is, The Panthers, the last two rounds of the playoffs, started out outscoring their opponents 47-0, and then they let their foot off the gas. They almost let Seattle back in, but the bottom line is both of these teams were out of the game before they even knew what hit them. Cardinals are a top-five offensive team, and they managed 7 points until garbage time.
And which, where they ended up scoring that extra 8 behind it, Carolina got 2 more touchdowns behind that. So it was like they were ready for it on all cylinders and went for 2 points on it. They didn't even need to go for 2 points right there. Like, it was 6 minutes left on the clock in the fourth quarter. They went for 2 points just for the heck of it. just to do it. Like we could do it. Like, okay, and they converted it. And they converted it. Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this NFC matchup? Both teams, Arizona or the Carolina Panthers, your thoughts?
You know, I find it interesting because, see, the last segment, somebody said, well, Demaryius Thomas needs to catch footballs that's thrown like footballs and not by frisbees. Lyon Fitzgerald needs footballs thrown like footballs and not like frisbees. And see, here's a little backstory. See, for the past 10 years we've been doing this show, Ty has been defending Carson Palmer, calling him an elite quarterback, telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. Carson Palmer's the ish. He's all a
Just wait till he gets into the playoffs.
Hey, I didn't interrupt you, sir. I let you know what I'm saying? I let everybody sit there. I got people coming in going, hey, Carson Palmer's ball. Yeah. Listen, for 10 years, people, we've been doing this show. Was it 15, nah, 15 years? Ain't it serious? Like 15 years he's been defending Carson Palmer. Okay?
It's been almost 15.
Exactly. Carson Palmer's a bum. I've been saying it his entire career. Okay? He's a bum. 6 turnovers and it's not his fault? Are you kidding me? Did you see his first pass of the game? His first pass of the game, he overshot by like 20 yards. A guy who was wide open because he was so shook. Oh, by the way, he did the same thing.
Homie was wide open, too.
He did the same thing in the last game that Green Bay should have won if the defense did forget Larry Fitzgerald was on the field. But I digress. This entire team fell apart. Yes, but it's because of their quarterback falling apart. You had Calais Campbell, who I've never seen lose his composure, arguing with teammates on the sidelines. You got guys getting into the face of Brenson Buckner, who still looks like he could bench press 1,000 pounds, and he's one of the coaches on the Cardinals. This entire team looked like they weren't ready for the spotlight. Now, the phrase, one team is hungry, I've never liked that phrase. I think it's a ridiculous phrase. That's not anything against you, Brian, but I think it's a ridiculous phrase because how can you not be as hungry as somebody else? Sometimes you just get sometimes the moment overwhelms you. And the moment obviously overwhelmed this team. The moment overwhelmed them, and it started at the head of the snake, the head of the bird, shall I say, which is Carson Palmer. The other guys on this team were so – I think they could tell Palmer was shook, and they were trying so hard to make up for his deficiencies and what he wasn't going to do that they got them out of their games. Patrick Peterson knows better than to try to catch that doggone punt on the run like that. He knows better than that. But he was trying so hard to make something happen so that his quarterback would have great field position and maybe wouldn't be so damn nervous and throw another interception and then another interception. Oh, wait, and then another interception. Oh, wait, and then another. Well, then it was a fumble and then another fumble. This game was won or lost because of Carson Palmer for the Arizona Cardinals. They lost because of Carson Palmer, period, end of story. Lyon Fitzgerald was crying because he finally realized he's never going to win a championship with Carson Palmer as his quarterback. That's why he was up there crying, Ty. He was like, man, I can't believe I got this dude as my quarterback. Okay? It was the opposite of T.O., all right?
My man pulled a T.O. up there.
All right.
Not
he's going, damn, that's my quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
Listen, man. And by the way, how are the Panthers not the best offense in football and they're 17-1? I'm curious. How are they not the best offense? Because I keep hearing people say, oh, they're not the best offense. They're not the best. They're 17-1, man. How in the hell are they not the best?
Anything credit.
But I think they have a couple teams ranked ahead of them in, you know, overall offense. That's why I said it like that. I know they got explosive offensive players. I know that.
That's my point. How are you going to rank anybody? Don't tell me about statistics because I can make numbers do anything I want. Men lie, women lie, numbers lie if you know how to make them lie. Okay? The fact of the matter is they're 17-1. They are the best, period. I don't care what category you want to look at. They're the best. They're 17-1. And we all know that at some point, because of the ignorance in every spectrum of the rainbow, this is going to devolve into a black and white thing. For us, we're not getting into that, okay? For you ignorant folks out there, I saw it on Twitter, and it was a tweet that was real, made me sad because it was true. Some people are going to make this about Cam being black and Peyton White and all that other nonsense. Listen, I ain't got time for that. We ain't got time for that on this show. If y'all bring that to the show, you get shut the hell down. This is about the best quarterback in the league, period, end of story. I don't care if he was perfect. He's still better than everybody else. You know, so all of the detractors and everything, we might know where that stems from, but we ain't getting into that because it's nonsense. It's gonna take away from us looking at the maturation and emergence of the next great quarterback in this league for the next 10 years. For the next 10 years, every quarterback is going to be matched against Cam Newton at this point. Cam Newton is what the Randalls could have been. He is what you name a mobile quarterback, what the Robert Griffins could have been, what the Johnny Manziels could have been, what the Tim Tebow could have been.
Yep.
The Cordell Stewarts. Okay, he is what they all could have been, but never were able to put it all together. He is the true, and he is what Steve Young couldn't be in the NFL. All that Steve Young did, Steve Young only won one Super Bowl. But and Steve Young, by the time he got to the NFL, he kind of really wasn't a running quarterback anymore. He had just basically turned into a guy who ran only because he had to. This is what Steve Young could have been in the NFL. But remember, he started off in the USFL, and then when he got the NFL, he was a champion, and they were terrible. This is what a true, fully developed, fully actualized mobile quarterback is, people. This is the Freddis. This is, you know, the descendant of the Fran Tarkington and the Roger Staubachs. This is their descendant. And, man, listen, it's going to be real ugly in 2 weeks.
Okay, first and foremost, people, before I go any further, Taylor up here lying. Okay, Taylor up here lying. Okay, I did not call Carson Palmer elite. That is for sure. That is for sure. I don't know where Aaron tried to co-sign. If Aaron is co-signing for you, you will not get that car. You will not get that car. No, no, no. They are not buying that car for you. No, listen, you better go to the used lot. You better do it. Listen, I didn't do that. Now, one, I agree. Six turnovers, Brian, I know that you just hung up. I know you just hung up, but six turnovers by the dude that is responsible for this football to help us score the ball, that's six possessions. I just don't get it. Four of which are interceptions. Two were fumbles. Where else are you pointing the way? Why these dudes are up 17-0? Like, these dudes are rocking and rolling, and let alone, here we go. Here's the icing on the cake. They're in Carolina, so y'all don't even have no emotional edge. Like, y'all have to score to get each other pumped. Y'all have to. Y'all score a touchdown, they answer that right back. They answer that right back, 24-7. Like, okay, y'all scored, it was 17-7, they scored right back. And here we go, another one. Like, maybe Denver may have the answer for it, but if Denver don't do it, I don't know how they solve the Rubik's Cube, a.k.a. Superman, better known as Killer Cam. This dude finally, look, as you see him try to, you know, take off the blazer, loosen up the tie, right? Like, you see him try to do that, right? It was portions of his game, especially the two touchdowns that he scored, it was like he wasn't going to be denied. He didn't care who was trying to come hit him. He wanted to take the hit. And I don't think that's something that you want your quarterback to go out there doing, but he's 6'6". He's 250-something, like, and he's on a 4.5 40. Like, so you got to deal with this dude, let alone just like everybody's been mentioning, he is throwing the crap out of the ball. He's throwing the hell out of that ball. Cam is not playing around. Cam is throwing that ball around a lot. And I love it that he goes to Greg Olsen. I love that. I love it. Greg Olsen, a hurricane for life. I love this kid, fresh out of New Jersey. But also, just like it was hit on, I think Taylor hit on it, Nas hit on it too. Getting him involved and making this defense that's already looking to attack the pocket because they have a lot of speed to trying to collapse it and get after the quarterback, even though it doesn't work because Cam is a guy that's mobile. You get a speed to go in opposite direction. Now everybody's like, what the hell do we do? We already got to catch Cam. We got to worry about 4-3 speed on outside now. So in that 86-yard pass, like, everything was clicking. Offensively, everything was clicking. And, oh, yeah, Chandler. He said he's coming for my head, Sports City. Well, it's my turn to come for his. you better not come on this show no more talking about Luke Kuechly. Never. Never. I will never sit up here and let you call Luke Kuechly out ever again. Who is the operator of that defense? For the second game in a row, pick six. Second game in a row. This dude do not play around. He do not play around. Whether it's that linebacker, I mean that receiver core, you had to worry about Arizona, or whether it's Marshawn Lynch and being one of the more physical running backs in the game, he is answering the call. And let alone, it's unfortunate that T.D. Thomas Davis went down with a broken arm. I don't know the specifics of how bad the break is, but Thomas Davis said he is not missing this Super Bowl for the world. So he's going to play with a broken arm. That's going to be crazy insane to see him try and deal with Peyton Manning. And Noah Peyton going to try and pick on that, you know, open wound, if you will. I'm scared of that situation because I don't want to see a pick on a linebacker that I like. I like Thomas Davis a lot. But I will not sit here and watch you pick on Luke Kuechly while this dude did it again back-to-back weeks. He's all over the football field. Defending everybody. Everybody was getting it. And another pick six? Like, come on, man. Come on, man. I don't know what else he need to do to prove to you that he top three linebacker in the game. If not, he could be the best. He could be the best linebacker in the game if you could pick one, find him. Then we could debate him.
Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis is a quarterback of that defense, and no matter what, like I kept stressing, that D-line makes any linebacker look good and sometimes even great. That D-line is the truth. That D-line is why Carson Palmer was shook. That D-line is why he was floating stuff everywhere, not going through his read, acting skittish in the pocket. But Kuechly's a baller, dude. Not discounting Kuechly. He's a baller, pro bowler, probably be an all pro guy next few years. But
who better than the other linebacker position?
Thomas Davis is better. Because Arizona didn't score, so Thomas Davis went out the game. Next.
Can I hit on the other point?
That crooked suit good for the soul. That crooked suit good for the soul. That's all I'm saying.
There's no way in hell. You don't even believe that. You don't even believe it. So go to the other side. Before we keep going,
I'll roll it quick. This peep how strong narrative is. You heard somebody talking about how Cam Newton had finally come of age and finally did this. And that dude won a JUCO championship, an NCAA championship, came to the league and had a rookie record for passing. Like, he's always excelled. His team hasn't been the best before this year, but he's always excelled. He's much, you know what I mean, he's gotten much better this year as far as they tailored the system to him, so now they're playing to his strength at all angles. So that's helping a lot. But this is Cam Newton. Like, we don't need to try to give the glory to the coaches. We don't need to try to give the glory to the defense first. This dude made himself who he is. And just think of how much we overvalued those John Gruden sit-down sessions a few years ago when we thought because Robert Griffin answered all the questions correctly, that means, oh, he knows everything. He's going to be straight. You know what I'm saying? What was my man that washed out of the league who was on that cover with Cam when they were acting like it was some kind of choice between Cam, horrible man out there in San Fran whose name I can't even think of.
Blaine Gabbert
and the other Gabbert, guy.
It was Gabbert,
one more guy from Stanford.
I remember that. It was the three of them. It was Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, and it was another quarterback.
It was Josh Freeman.
Not Freeman. West Coast guy, really athletic. They talked about him being the number one pick, and he went back to school and struggled, and then he dropped in the draft, went to Tennessee. I can't think of his name. Either way, the comparison was ridiculous. They were always doubting the kid, but he's proven it at every level, every step, man. This is who he is, progression, and greatness. And like I said, that John Gruden stuff, man, we really bought that dish a few years ago. Now you look back on it, man, it was glorified TV. That wasn't a real football session telling you what somebody knew or not. That was John Gruden using his personality for TV entertainment. Great ratings, but that was no indicator of who could be good and who couldn't. Jake Locker was the quarterback I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. But you got to give the coaches some credit, though, Nas. You have to because – The coaches were secure enough to tailor a system to maximize his talents and allow him to grow and mature, because he has grown as quarterback. He has matured. He has gotten better. You have to give the coach some credit, because not all coaches would be willing to put their jobs on the line to say, I'm going to go with what this guy does best and let him turn into a pocket passer rather than force him into becoming a pocket passer.
And that's exactly what I was about to say about RG3. That's exactly what I was about to say about RG3. I'm curious to see what RG3 comes into when he gets into a system that it utilizes his skills and his talents and doesn't try to force him into a round peg like that. I mean,
right. They
did him dirty out here in Washington. You know what I'm saying? Robert Griffin III has a ton of flaws, and, you know, he's nowhere, you know, in the stratosphere where Cam Newton's at. Well, I want to put the brakes on trying to, you know, poo-poo on this dude. I mean, this dude can play the game. He just needs some tools and some help. Let's see where he goes this offseason. And maybe, just maybe, if he gets linked up with the offensive coordinator that can cater, you know, offensive game plan to his skills and this man can stay healthy, he can blossom into something. But, I mean, out here in Washington, there was no hope for him. You know, Shanahan and you know, they did the man dirty. And then, you know, Dan Snyder got involved and the whole nine. We all saw what happened. So I'm going to hold the brakes on writing off RG3 right now.
If he was in Washington and this was a few years ago and they put the system around him, I would agree with you. But now I don't see the reemergence. But, hey, I could be wrong on that. It could happen. Chandler's great point. The coaches do deserve some credit. But I'm just saying, when do we ever do this? When do we ever see an MVP season by a quarterback and we make sure we couch all of the praise of that quarterback with the coaches, with the defense and everything else? I mean, look, man. Peyton getting a lot of credit now after Von Miller and those boys got that win last week. I'm just saying, man, I just want to make sure Cam gets his due, because I see a whole lot of people qualifying and adding on. You know what I mean? But, yeah, the coaches do deserve the credit, because it takes some courage to go against what you've been taught for all these years, that quarterback has to be this and this only. So, yeah, that's definitely true, though, Cam.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and it's what keeps, like, when Ty says the thing about not the best offense, and I wasn't really getting Ty, but it's kind of, there's this narrative going, like, even yesterday I'm hearing, well, Tom Brady will probably win offensive MVP because of what he did with such few tools. Weren't we saying all year long, or what everybody else saying, I never said, wasn't everybody saying all year long Cam Newton had no wide receivers? Remember, Tom, everybody kept saying, "Watch, I bet they wish they had Steve Smith back. I bet they wish they had, imagine what they'd be if they had this guy. Imagine what they'd be if they had this guy." So how is Cam Newton not going to win every single award possible? I told you guys, and I still stick by it, I think Tom Brady's going to win MVP. I really do. I think Brady's winning the MVP. Listen, I'm not saying he should.
If Brady gets the MVP, there's politics involved. Point blank, period. I said this week nine. I still remember it, and not here right now, but not to remember that. I was there week nine before this started getting out of hand. Like before Cam started laying everybody flat. Cam got it.
Yeah.
Cam got it. I actually
thought there was no way they could get here. Right. I agree. I was right with you, Todd.
Right. Right, I actually have people hitting me up saying that they're looking for Chandler. They're looking for Chandler because of how Chandler came off August on camp. But speaking on that situation also, somebody gave me a clip 6 minutes long, and I usually don't give these people the leg up to say the mercy of their name, right? I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it today. Somebody sent me a 6-minute clip on my page, right? For every single person that called Cam out and said he would never be a good NFL quarterback. And I'm talking about all of them on that NFL roundtable on ESPN. I'm talking about John Gruden. Yes, you are on this list too. Mel Kiper Jr., yes, you are on this. Skip Bayless, about 8 to 10 times, was on this list. Killing Cam. Matter of fact, I think it was the 6th mention when he was talking about Cam. He said Tim Tebow would end up being a better quarterback than Cam Newton. One of them is announcing college football. One of them is playing in the Super Bowl. Guess who's who, Skip? Guess who is who? You the same dude that called out LeBron, now you call out Cam. I bet you start backpedaling or Stephen A. Smith come save your ass. I mean, come save you in the manner of that situation. I apologize for City because I'm feel the same with that. It's a lot of y'all on that network that was killing Cam when it all came down to it. And now this dude progressed, just like everybody said, nah, serious, Chandler. Everybody, you know, slowly seeing what this guy's become in his NFL career. It's hilarious. I bet you everybody start going back into their cave and grab a number one jersey and start rooting for Cam instead of 30. It's hilarious.
Hey, Shaq, I'm trying to figure out somebody coming for me because what I said, I stand by. And I still say it, and it's got nothing to do with what I think Cam should win it. I think that they want to give Brady awards.
No.
They want to give Brady awards.
Not that. No. They coming for you for what you said in August. They said they would either be here today or tomorrow. They said when he got to the fight with Norman, you said that Cam couldn't be a leader. So they
no,
they
what, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. What I said was it showed a lack of leadership. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Because
we have to.
I think all of us were somewhat saying we didn't like it and, you know, whatever. But remember, none of us knew Josh Norman was crazy then. Have y'all heard Josh Norman interviews over the past couple of years? Like, Josh Norman is out there. If you're on the team, you love him, but you still might fight with him. But, yeah, now it makes perfect sense why he would fight
with him. No, it doesn't. It still doesn't make sense to me. Here's the thing, man. And I don't care because it still doesn't matter. It was a bad job of leadership by him, and I'm going to stick by this because you are the most important player on that team. A lot of bad things could have happened with him getting in that fight. He could have broken his hand. He could have gotten injured. Where would his Panther season be without him?
That's true.
So, yes, I'm going to – whoever can come for me. Because the bottom line is this. Just like we saw Geno Smith ruin his career this season, and I'm not comparing him again. I'm comparing the situation. Just like we saw Geno Smith ruin his career by being dumb and not being a leader in that moment, by not doing what he was supposed to do, he ruined his career. Geno Smith will never
be a backup
quarterback. He will not be a quarterback in NFL unless it's with the Jets. Nobody else is going to take him, okay? He has damaged himself that much with that episode, okay? And the character assassination that followed by all of these so-called experts. If Cam Newton had broken his hand and ruined the Carolina Panthers season, then what? So don't tell him, he needs to go fight. Your quarterback should not be fighting anybody. I'm sorry. And whoever wants to come, bring that.
It shouldn't happen. But, Chandler, I need you tonight to check out Josh Norman, and you'll get an idea on not only how annoying he is, but how Josh Norman is the guy who would fight the quarterback. I'm telling you, man, this is not your average. This is a Dennis Rodman type of football. Check him out. And just real quick for all the people, this is a quarterback-driven league. Quarterback means everything. Quarterback. If Tom Brady had Deion Lewis, are we looking at a different participant in this Super Bowl this game?
Yeah, totally. That game would have been, listen, it would have been a landslide. Totally different. Not only would they have to worry about Gronk and Edelman, they'd have to worry about Deion Lewis and which way he's going to go. Like he is one of those option route running backs. Like, he it was
that
one of the
things
that
was
Right, I know. Once he broke his leg, it was like there's finally a chink in the armor. These dudes were fresh off a Super Bowl win and was running the table before he broke his leg. And then you see Edelman break his foot, and then a Gronk got hurt. It was like everybody started getting hurt at the wrong time. And they went into the game without Gerard Mayo. Like, Mayo wasn't even playing. And not to just say, they missing their middle linebacker, but Mayo's the difference maker. So, you know, Like I said, I really felt like this is Peyton's time. Too much has happened to Peyton. He's lost two Super Bowls. He's won one. First quarterback in NFL history to go to four Super Bowls with two different teams twice. I never thought about it like that. He went there twice with Denver now, twice with the Colts. I had to think about it like that, too. So, in that measure for the AFC, but say it again.
He's a legend, man. Got to give it up to him. He is that legend. But this defense is carrying him right now. But I tell you one thing, Carolina better take the ball first and run as much time as you can off that clock. Let that Toradol shot wear off a little bit in that first half. That first half, Peyton, he was a little loose. little loose out there. Doc Holliday a little bit. You know what I mean? But that second half, things got real ducky again. So I would
even
say,
even Peyton Manning scrambled for a first down for 10 yards. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe my eyes that Peyton was scrambling for a first down. Like it was like, wait, what? Peyton just picked that up, and he didn't slide feet first? Like, he didn't slide. Like, I was like, whoa, okay. Okay, so Peyton showed up. Like I get, look, man. It's tough me getting older now, seeing guys get older in the league, because now I got an appreciation for everything that they've done thus far. And, I can't stand that I'm saying this right now, but I appreciate everything Peyton's done in the league. And him trying to get to a Super Bowl and win it, knowing that they're trying to set the same type of stage that they set for John Elway back in 98. That's why I felt it, man. I really felt it. And Peyton's there to try and, you know, write this one off into the sunset. But this is one interesting matchup. I know we got 2 weeks to talk about this matchup, but you got one defense that's not playing around, you know, picking people off, taking them to the house, and you got one defense that's just ranked number one in the league and showing why and basically bringing the you know, the pressure to these quarterbacks. But now, these defenses more than ever, both of them have their hands full, both of them. The Denver defense has their hands full because they can't really send all of those secondary players to camp because they got to worry about those receivers. And let's be honest, the Carolina Panthers, I'm going to just say, Peyton Manning. You got to worry about him. You got to worry about him. He'll deal with these five-yard passes and get downfield. He'll do that. And he knows his arm ain't built for it right now, so he got to do that. Even though he has been showing fatigue around the midway portion of the third quarter, this is the second game again we've seen Peyton slow down. I'm not going to lie. Peyton did slow down midway through that third quarter. He looked like, I don't know if it was fatigue or he got weaker or what. This injury really is bothering him, but he did slow down. So I know for the early portion of the game, if Carolina could keep doing what they're doing, starting the game off hot both sides of the ball, then I think this puts pressure on Denver. But if they are having this a back-and-forth game, I feel sorry for all of that work you have done in that blue and black. I feel sorry because Peyton will end up with that ball last in the fourth quarter and doing something crazy. I couldn't see it no different. I couldn't see it no other way. Like it's almost like how Derek Jeter hit a home run on what is his 3,000th hit. Like, I couldn't see it no different happening for Peyton Manning. That's how I feel the situation could end up. So, like I said, I know we got a ton of time on his matchup. I know throughout the next coming week or so we will be touching on this as well. There is an interesting matchup tonight. I want to see how you guys feel about it. The Golden State Warriors host the San Antonio Spurs, in which the Spurs are resting Tim Duncan. However, this game must go on. I want to throw this one around the kitchen, see who you guys like in this matchup and why. I'll start with you first, Sirius. You are a Western Conference guy. You've actually played both the Spurs and the Golden State Warriors. I mean, your thoughts on this, the two best teams in the NBA right now.
You know, it's unfortunate that they're resting Tim Duncan. You know, at games like this where, you know, I guess, you know, generate tremendous revenue for the sport. And, you know, if Pop decides, you know, he wants to rest anybody, you know, during any time, I'm not sure if this is a good game for that. However, it's going to be a great, you know, chess match, if you will. You got Steve Kerr back. And we all know what he's capable of against, you know, arguably one of the greatest coaches to ever sit on the sideline, and Greg Popovich. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm excited to watch it. If I'm going to pick a winner, I'm going with Golden State to win the ball game. You know, too much guard play. Their bench is much deeper. And again, you don't have Tim Duncan available, who is somewhat of a calming force. And who has seen it all, done it all, and is Mr. Fundamental. You know, I mean, this dude, you know, he's done it, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Spurs, you know, fare when, you know, chips are down and it's crunch time and, you know, you need a buck, you need a defensive stop, you need a rebound, you need that big presence in the middle to, you know, at least it's not to do anything else but to clog stuff up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think the Spurs fall today. And I go and say just the one.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this matchup, Western Conference, bang out the two best teams in the NBA. You got a 40-4 Warrior team going up against a 38-6 Spurs team without Tim Duncan, though. Can they get it done? You know Pop can pull tricks out of his sleeve without some of his best players. Your thoughts?
Yeah, of course they can win without Tim Duncan. You know how I feel about Tim Duncan. You know, we can have that discussion another day because you know where I'm at with him. But I think this is gamesmanship by Pop, and it's also a way for him to try out a lineup that he might try in the playoffs. Okay, because there may be some times when he has to play without Duncan if Golden State goes small. Who's he going to take off the floor, LaMarcus or Tim? He's going to take Tim off the floor because LaMarcus is a little more mobile, not much, but a little more mobile than Duncan. So you go small with LaMarcus as your big. I think this is him getting prepared for the playoffs. This is Pop long-term vision. I don't think he really cares whether they win or lose this game because the overall scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. These are the top two teams in the Western Conference. They're going to be playing for the Western Conference Championship. I think this is his way of basically – trying out a scheme. This is a glorified, for all intents and purposes, this is a practice session for him. He's trying something out, and let's see what happens with it. But I think, and I actually think Golden State, San Antonio is going to win the game, personally.
Wow. Okay, we got a 1-1 situation. We got a split right now. Nas, your thoughts on this matchup? What matchup are you watching out for? Is it Steph or TP? And not me. I know I could go out there and give Steph some business, you know, but Tony Parker or Clay Manu, really, do you think Kawhi is actually D'ing Steph all night? Like, your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I don't think you really show Kawhi on Steph too much. I think you wait until the playoffs for that. You may do it a few minutes, but I don't think you do it to where he's guarding him a long time. No reason to wear him out. Might as well go ahead and let TP and those boys guard him. I'm really interested to see how the Spurs defend them, period. They've been the best defensive team in the league this year. If you kind of watch what they've been doing to teams, they came down to Atlanta and squeezed the hell out of the Hawks. So I want to see what they do to kind of shrink the floor against Golden State because you know Golden State, they're trying to space you out no matter what. But in my mind, Golden State wins tonight because I think Chandler hit it dead on the head. Pop wants playoff tape. Can I play this lineup? Can I play that lineup? How do I defend this play, that play? Show me as much as you got tonight, Golden State, because I want to file it away late in the playoffs.
Okay, I'm up in the air about this one because I think the only team right now that could go in the Oracle and stop them is this Spurs team, but without Tim Duncan, I feel like they are, you know, shorthanded. I really feel like Golden State can take care of business because it's like it's a little flame, right? It's a little flame sitting just anywhere, right? And anytime Clay or Steph throws a jump shot up, as soon as it hits, it's like gasoline on it. Every time they hit a shot, it's more gasoline on it. Every time they hit a shot, it's more gasoline until that Oracle is on fire and it's out of control. It's out of control. I know Pop may have a trick up his sleeve and make force them to shoot the threes or have them shoot contested threes. Force them to get to the lane. Get them off of that three-point line. Don't have them feeling that rim. If they feel that rim, it's over because everybody can hit shots. You got Draymond. You got Barbosa. Iguodala can get involved. I don't even want to talk about Steph. Like, Steph is unreal. Like they got so many different guys that can hurt you shooting the ball. So, I'm up in arms about this game. Even without Tim Duncan, I really feel like you can't count Pop out. You can't count him out in this matchup. But, just like it was said, Steve Kerr's back on the sideline. Steve Kerr was with Pop, got championships with Pop as well. He probably knows that system better than anybody. Well, Budenholzer, too. I mean, he came from Pop's system also. So his hands are full. So if I have to choose one, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go with Golden State to win at home. But if there is a team right now that can stop Golden State in the Oracle, it's the Spurs. They're no-nonsense. They have fun playing ball. They talk. That's big. Communication is key if you're going to knock off the Warriors, especially in their house. Especially in their house where they are running people out of that gym. Running people out of that gym. I like the way that Nas used it toward the Hawks. you know, choked the hell out of the Hawks. So I like that one. That was an interesting one. I had another topic, but I definitely am going to save it for the cookout. And I'm gonna entice you with it because I know that this could go on forever on this one because I feel personally about this topic. It has me pretty upset. NFL, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out, NFL. You mean to tell me, right, that you're going to move the Rams to L.A., then you're going to move the Chargers there too as well, but then you're going to move the Raiders to San Diego, where their rivals been there forever? Like if that's to me, I feel like that is so backwards. It's not funny. It's not the San Diego Raiders. Like, do that even sound cool? Like, yeah, I know the Raiders got support. They got fans that follow them all across the country. Really? I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, the Cowboys had a game up against the Chargers. Do you know how crazy people in San Diego are against, you know, the Rams? Let alone it, that wasn't even their rival. They was batting dudes in the face with glass bottles and stuff in the parking lot. Like, come on. I could just picture the Raiders down there, and that's been a rival all of these years. All of these years. Like, the NFL, you better think about it. That is California, you know. That is California. But I'm saving it. I'm saving it. That's for the cookout, man. Y'all come to the cookout and throw stuff on the grill with me if y'all want. But, like I said, I'm pissed off about that. Goodell, do something, man, before this get out of hand, man. Yeah, this is what y'all doing to the Raiders. I'm not a Raider fan at all, but this is what y'all doing to the Raiders, man. We're going to keep on the baseball field until we move into San Diego. Then we're going to do what we got to do. Shut up. Please. Oh, okay. Tail end of the show. I think plugs are closed out to Ceviche. I feel some type of way right now. I just aggravated myself bringing that up right now, and I don't even know how to feel right now. And I feel like this is great stuff in the damn show. Now I need a plug, close out, shout out, as we shut it down here at the wrap-up.
As usual, thanks for letting me on. Good to talk with y'all guys. The NBA has to do something about this all-star voting. Not because the fans are kind of silly sometimes and kind of play favorites, but because you got a lot of guys whose incentives are based on them making the All-Star team and All-NBA team. Anthony Davis is about to lose a whole boatload of money by not being an All-Star starter. So he's got to get All-NBA this year in order to hit certain incentives that are in his contract. So it's going to be an interesting thing to watch going forward, whether guys end up not hitting that lottery. It's kind of that Derrick Rose rule where they put all those extra things in there. All-NBA, starter, all-star. And listen, you're talking about like $10 million sometimes with some of these incentives. So it's crazy that a fan who just loves Zaza Pachulia and votes for him 100 times or whatever can stop you from getting that money. That's crazy to me, but we'll see how it goes.
Chandler, I need a plug, close-out, shout-out, and we shut it down here to wrap up.
I'm going to do a little NBA history tonight for all you LeBron James fans, all you people. We ain't never seen nobody like LeBron James before. Bleh, 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 bleh. Google the name George McGinnis. His career totals in the ABA before he got to the NBA. 25-12-4. Playoff totals. 23-13-4. Don't talk to me. 6'8", 240. Oh, that sounds eerily reminiscent of another guy they claim we've never seen a combination of skill and passing like this before. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. So stop it. Stop it with the short-sightedness. Stop telling me that Steph Curry's the greatest shooter in NBA history because Alex English and Kiki Vandeweghe and Walter Davis and Paul Westphal would beg to disagree. Learn your history before you start marking people as the best ever, people. Learn your history. And yeah, Tim Duncan ain't the greatest power forward whatever he
is. Oh my God. Stop that. Who the better power forward than Timmy?
I'll take Elvin Hayes.
He watches Elvin. Elvin's great.
I'll take Elvin Hayes. I'll take actually Wes Unseld in this day and age will be a power forward. Hell, I'll take Lonnie Shelton over Tim Duncan. Don't get me
started. Get washed. Timmy's that dude, man. Someday you'll respect him, man. Timmy's that dude.
I didn't say he wasn't good. He's just not the greatest of all time at his position. There are others who've done it just as good. For his generation, for his era, is he the best? Yes. He's not the best of all time. See, that's the problem, is you want to say best of all time and you just want to ignore other eras. For his era,
yeah,
is he the best?
But even saying that, though, look at that era, though. You're saying, and I agree with this, that in his era he's the best, so that means Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. You know what I'm saying? Like, those names are behind his. Like, that's how...
No, best power forward. No, best power forward.
Talking about.
Best power forward of his era, not the best player.
He's
stop
the best
that.
Player of his era.
Oh, my God, stop. Oh, stop.
I didn't go that far. No, I didn't go that far. I didn't go that far. I think best power forward. I think best player.
Yeah, go back to run the tape and watch those series when he was giving Shaq work. I mean, prime dominant Shaq, giving Shaq work, everything he wanted in the post. And
so
Shaq had another Hall of Famer running with him.
So did Hakeem Olajuwon. What's your point?
Okay.
Hakeem
Olajuwon. You're saying that like Dream ain't top five. Top five
okay.
Centers to ever play the game. Like,
okay. But, and he played in the same era as Tim Duncan, so that he's better than Tim Duncan.
Nah, he came after. By the time Duncan came around, Dream was damn near on those Toronto days.
No, he wasn't. See the justification there, Ty? See now the narrative suddenly changed.
When Tim Duncan came to the league out of 97 out of Wake Forest, Hakeem was still in Houston. That's when they had those red, white, and blue jerseys. That's when he was there. So the Dream was there, mm-hmm. but he was on his way out of Houston getting passed around the league. So I don't know if that's a fair assessment. This is pretty cool. I like this. I mean, look. I didn't even push out the motive of best all time, like all time. I'm saying best all time power forward. Yeah, like yes, I'd entertain that. Like yes, I put him up against a lot of dudes, and I'm not even gonna lie, I wasn't a Hornet fan, but I was a Larry Johnson fan, even though I was a Sean Kemp guy. But I know Tim Duncan better than both of them. I gotta respect that.
And, I mean, you were from pure power forward. You talking Maurice Lucas. You talking, I mean, hell, Dan Issel. Oh, my God, Dan Issel was a monster at power forward.
But we get washed. Balling.
Oh, please. Dan Issel would take Tim Duncan.
You don't remember 18-year-old Timmy playing on the select team against the Dream Team?
Okay, and I'm
going to
say this again.
Dan
Issel would take him right to the elbow and work him all day, every day, as would Elvin Hayes. Elvin Hayes would take him down in the paint and abuse him. Are you kidding me?
And Elvin Hayes would get 20-20 right back on his head.
No, he wouldn't. Elvin Hayes was one of the best defensive players that ever played. And see, people forget about that because they only think about Elvin. Elvin Hayes shut down Lou Alcindor.
Look, man, I'll put Lou on the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as
a goat. Okay, Elvin Hayes shut him down, went up against him, and every time he played against him, Elvin in college played center. In the NBA, he was a forward, but whenever they played against the Lakers or the Bucks or wherever Kareem was, Elvin Hayes guarded him because they had a personal thing going their entire careers. Their entire careers. And Elvin Hayes, always shut him down.
Well, shut him down is a little far. Like, we can put up.
No, he shut him down.
Played
he shut him down.
And balled out. We say that, but shut him down? Man, we put up
shut him down. Shut him down.
Nobody shut down Cap. Period.
Okay. Actually, yeah, a couple of people did. Dave Cowens did. Elvin Hayes did. A couple of people did.
Yeah, come on, man. You had a good series. You had a good couple games.
No.
Man,
I'm talking about his career. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, look at his numbers against certain players.
If I pull up career head-to-head right now, they got 20-10. All of them.
I bet you. Not against certain players.
Pull up
the
stats. They got 20-10. We'll pull up
the
head-to-head and 20-10. Let me go to basketball reference. We're going to have to do this. I'm going to have to
see
use up all my data to get to this.
See what happened? Oh my goodness! Look, sports. I didn't even get to my clubhouse series the same way. I didn't even get Sanders to get his club. This Taylor sports.
I'm just saying, though, y'all know Taylor has an unreasonable hate for Timmy, man. He knows what Timmy is, man. He don't want to respect the legend. I don't know why.
Are you pulling the stat up? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah, I am looking. But go ahead, man. Go ahead. Okay.
Seriously, he's looking for the stat. Can I get a plug, a close out, and shout out before we shut it down and to wrap up? The cookout is going to be disgusting. I already have topics already. And I didn't even think I was going to get into the best of already. I didn't even think I just was going to talk about the Raiders. That was the only thing I had slated so far. But I already feel like I got a heavy cookout tomorrow at the grill.
Yo, anyways, man, it's your boy, Series Rep, and that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here on the Rapper with you, gentlemen. You know, I'm going to say this. You know, the Patriots do not take losing too well. You know, Bill Belichick came on and was like, you know, a no one player, no one situation, you know, was the reason why we lost. We lost as a team, but less than 24 hours from, you know, your quarterback getting smacked 20 million times. They've already been fired their offensive line coach, Dylan Negro, whatever the heck his name is. So, subliminal message being sent? I think so. Man, check out the sportscitychefs.com, Facebook, Twitter. Check us out tomorrow on the Call of Cookout. As you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be bananas in the building, so make sure your face is in the place. Your boy Sirius is gone, man. It's going to be crazy.
That's going to be stupid tomorrow. Look, did you find a number, Nas, before I get moving? Because, look, I know Timmy is the
I'm
king of
that. I'm getting individual, but I'm not getting head-to-head. I'm getting the individual numbers, but I'm not getting head-to-head. I'm
who are you getting head-to-head?
Tim
versus who head-to-head? Who did you have?
Oh, I'm trying to get Hayes versus Kareem head-to-head, but I'm only getting both of the stats separately.
Okay.
Kareem will kill him
all day if you pulling him up, they stats up separately. Kareem got him, but look, that's a dish one tomorrow. Look, that entices the cookout tomorrow. The cookout will be wonderful. Just that is your work for tomorrow, so you can have something for Chandler to come eat. I love it. A lot of food for thought for tomorrow. Look, I have NFL on the mind. The fellas got basketball back on slate. So if we're also talking about the game that's taking place right now, and also here's another critical one too. Does Duke get out of the state of Florida alive? They are playing the number 15 Miami team right now. Do they get away from the Hurricanes? And just like I told y'all, I think Chandler and Nacho agree with me. I think the whole board agree with me. Duke Blue Devils actually lost last week and were ranked 21 in the nation. Tell me why they are cliffhanging at 24. Cliffhanging. So they like, yeah, if they beat Miami, they fly back in. If they lose, they're out of the top 25. Unless they really, like, move in one spot. Because you know these voters trying to see something off of Coach K. They like Coach K. I don't blame y'all, but I don't like him personally. I don't – just because of that face. That face that he make every time something go right for them, when something go wrong, that Coach K face killed me. But – I heard he's an awesome guy to be around, you know, basketball mind, so on and so forth. And I respect that, but just the history and that back and forth between us and Duke, like, I just don't like it. But this is set up for us tomorrow. We got a lot of matches to worry about. Golden State, Duke getting out of Florida, the head-to-head with Elvin Hayes, Kareem, Tim Duncan, and, oh, yes, I have not cleared my lungs yet on this, I can't even say Oakland Raiders, the San Diego Raiders. That don't even sound right, man. That don't even, Goodell, don't let that happen. Roger Goodell, do not let that happen. I'm so bored. On that note, man, sportscitychefs.com. Check out the website, interview the blog, and chef. We'll be back here tomorrow, Tuesday, 7 p.m. You already know what time it is. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never. Business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming I'm using keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby. I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is
was only gonna leave you broke. You know, the only thing left now is God for these cats. And please, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts, you making up slack.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Not taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is a phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. Promise you bars so I can buy a few cars. Then I kick a few flows so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, rap done. Ridiculous, and I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, Matt Holmes. Used to call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows, militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Chris Style keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, Holmes, you in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic, trying to make dough like Jurassic. Park in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me, the underboss of this holocaust, truly yours, Frank White.